See, everybody's put out the effort to be here today. We're glad you're here with us. Got a couple of announcements, and then we'll get on into the service. We're blessed to have Brother Don Paxton with us again today. We're glad you're here, brother. Looking forward to the message. As far as announcements, there'll be a deacons meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Downstairs in the office, the pastor's office. Also, some of you may have been wondering about the shoe boxes. I got word the other day, and the church here, in their own packing, we did 334 boxes. And during collection week, other churches brought boxes to us, so we took 645 boxes to Big Stone to the tractor and trailer. Out of the counties Lee, Wise, Scott, and Dickinson County, there was 15,659 boxes collected. That was a 12% increase to what last year's giving was. But if you do the math and you figure roughly one out of every four boxes yields a conversion to Christ, that's over 3,900 people. So, and I know that's, you can't believe a number that big. That many people get saved. Yes, you can too. God's a powerful God and He draws people to Him. And so just to let you know, you are doing a part to help grow the kingdom of God. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Also, in reference to the Experiencing God class, we had one class that finished up this week. That's a 12-week course. And the other class, the Thursday night class, will finish up in two more weeks. And if anyone is interested in signing up, I plan to try and do another class starting in March. So we'll put a sign-up sheet out in February. And if you're curious about it, talk to someone that's took the class. See what they think. But it will, I'll guarantee you, it will not be the same after you take the class. And it will help you in your relationship with God, and it will draw you closer. And that's the purpose for it. As far as I can recall, I don't know of any other announcements. So if we could, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then the praise team will get started. Father, we do thank You and praise You. You are an almighty God. Father, there is no one like You. We praise You and we thank You for all Your blessings. Thank You most of all for what Jesus has done for us on the cross at Calvary through His death, burial, and resurrection. Made a way for us to be redeemed back to You, Father. He completed the plan of salvation once and for all. So we thank You for that precious gift as we look at this season of gifts. Jesus is our most precious gift, and we thank You. Now, Father, we just pray that You would have Your way and Your will in this service. We ask You to be with the speaker as he stands. Help him as he proclaims Your word. Give him the strength and encouragement that he needs. And, Father, just use him in a mighty way. And as always, Father, if there be lost souls in the house, pray that this would be the day they would come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Now have Your way and Your will in this time. In Jesus' holy and precious name I ask. Amen.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
You've come to bring peace, to be love, to be nearer to us. Oh, You've come to bring life, to be light, to shine brighter in us. Savior, in your presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God with us. You are God with us. You've come to be home to this world. For your honor and name, oh, you've come to take sin, to bear shame, and to conquer the grave, oh, Emmanuel, God with us. Our deliverer, you are Savior. In your presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God with us. You are God with us. You are here, you are holy, we are standing in your glory. You are here, you are holy, we are standing in your glory. You are here, you are holy, we are standing in your glory. You are here, you are holy, we are standing in your glory, Lord. Our deliverer, you are Savior. In your presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God. Presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God with us. You are God with us. You are God with us. You are God with us.
Look down where he
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. From our hearts our praises ring to the babe-loved Son of Mary. Oh, raise a song on high, his mother sings her lullaby. Bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, present King, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. From our hearts our praises ring to the babe, the Son of Mary. Oh, raise a song on high, his mother sings her lullaby.
Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those who favor rest.
This is Christ the King, the shepherds guard and angels sing. From our hearts our praises ring to the babe, the Son of Mary. Oh, raise a song on high, his mother sings her lullaby. This is Christ the King, the shepherds guard and angels sing. From our hearts our praise to the babe, the Son of Mary. Oh, raise a song on high, his mother sings her lullaby.
enjoyed the singing. There's a message in those songs. This time we'd like to ask Brother Don to come on. We appreciate him coming over and being with us. I want him to feel free to preach what God's giving this morning.
There you go.
Well, thank you. It is good to be back with you. And I bring you greetings from our executive director of our state convention, your state convention, Dr. Brian Autry, and also from your regional representative, Travis Engel. I'm so proud of Travis and how God's using him. Such a blessing to our state convention and all the churches. You may remember Miss Tina and I, we are now serving as volunteer ambassador to pastors. We're just trying to encourage churches and pastors throughout our southwest region. We have 100 churches, and encourage churches to appreciate their pastors and understand there's a lot of stress. But I'm thankful to be here with you today, and thank God for it. I love your church. That's what I keep telling Tina. I love it. It's laid out so well and everything, just beautiful. I'm thrilled to be back with you. December 3rd, I believe it is, isn't it? The 1st of December. Look with me in Luke chapter 2. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place whilst Quirinius was governing in Syria. So all the went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I thought, let's start this Christmas season out focusing on some things that we really need to make sure are priority in our life. I only want to deal with half of a verse. The last verse, the last sentence, because there was no room for them. And I think we need to make room for Christ in our Christmas. You're not going to do it if you're not intentional about it. It's not just going to happen. You've got to determine. Here it says very emphatically that there was no room for them. I love the Greek language. In Greek, syntax means a lot. For us, basic, common syntax of a sentence is subject, verb, object. In Greek, that's not so. In Greek, words at the first of a sentence have more weight than words at the end of the sentence. So if this says, for them, there was no room. The emphasis is on them. There is discrimination. And that's the way it is in Greek. It's the very first thing. For them, there was no room. Not that there was no room for them. Because there was no room, then the focus is there was no vacancy. But this focus is in that Christ, right from the beginning, before his birth, was being rejected. There was no room for him. And people, we've got to. If we're God's people and we love the Lord and we celebrate Christmas, and I love the beauty of how you've got everything decorated and all the things you're doing, we've got to make sure that Christ is first in our lives. Father, I pray that you would speak to us today out of this passage. Help us to make it applicable to our hearts and our lives. And Lord, use us in this Christmas season to make sure you are first in our life, that there is room for you, and that you are glorified in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. No room. How about making room for Jesus in our homes? We're Christians. Y'all do remember now, I'm from East Tennessee. Okay? I'm from the country. And saying amen is like shouting sick 'em to a dog. The more you do it, the faster I preach, sooner we're having lunch. But I don't do monologues. I'm not going to sit here and look at a bunch of faces looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And so if I say something and it agrees with you, say amen. If you don't like it, say oh me. That's all right. We'll deal with it. But we need to make room for Christ in our home, in our daily lives. We just don't spend time. We don't spend time in God's Word. We don't spend time in prayer. Those are two essentials. We need to make sure we are praying in this Christmas season. And we need to make sure we are in the Word of God, that we are growing in this Christmas season, and that God is using us for His glory. People say, well, Pastor, my life is busy. I just don't have time for devotions. I'll try to find time. Well, let me tell you something. Find time is a very low priority. I don't know if you're going to turn the corner and there's going to be two or three Rolex watches and a grandfather clock laid out there for you to find. But that's not what you need to be doing. You're not trying to find time, low priority. We need to make time. We need to purpose. If we're going to find time, if we're going to put Christ where He ought to be this Christmas, we've got to be intentional. We've got to plan to do it. It's not just going to happen. Everything about us is sinful and lazy. And so if we're not intentional, we will end up never doing it. Find time? No. Make time for devotion. How do you make time? You turn the TV off 30 minutes before you go to bed. 30 minutes earlier. Or you set your alarm clock 30 minutes early and you get up and spend time with the Lord in prayer. Oh, you've got a purpose to get in the Word of God and you've got a purpose to pray, but you've got to be intentional in making time for that to happen. This lady I've been married to for 48 years, I won't mention her name. But anyhow, she'll say, I didn't get anything done all day. Well, she had planned on doing a lot of things all day. But has that ever happened to you? The day is ending and you look back on it and say, where did it go? Where did the time go? I'm telling you, that's life. James says, for what is your life? It's but a vapor appears for a little moment and then vanishes away. Your life, 70 years, is a cold breath on a cold morning. You exhale. You see your breath. It dissipates. It's over. That's what James says life is. It's but a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it's gone. I turned 75 2 weeks ago. How did I get here this quick? I had no idea I'd be 75 this quick. Just like that, snap your fingers. And here we are. Life is passing so quickly. We will never do anything if we don't purpose, if we're not intentional. There was for them no room. For Him, no room. We've got to purpose Him in our lives. Oh, that we would purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, the great prayer of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words, which I command to you today shall be in your heart. Oh, but more than that, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Oh, there you go. And not only that, you shall talk of them when you sit in the way, and when you're in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Our day is filled in the Word of God. We start our day, get out of bed, we get in the Word of God. Throughout the day, we're in the Word of God. We're teaching it to our children. And when we go to bed, we spend time in God's Word. We don't do that. Most of us, the only scriptures we're going to deal with all week long is what we hear during the sermon on Sunday morning. God help us. We need to get in the Word of God. The psalmist says, "Yea, sweeter than honey to my lips is your word, O Lord." We ought to hunger and thirst for God's word. We have it like no other people. You understand? How many of you are ever without your Bible? Or by that I mean without your phone. Because if you don't, if you have a phone, you've got your Bible. And if you haven't downloaded your Bible, you need to do that. We have the Word with us all the time. And any time a thought comes to mind saying, "Oh, yeah, that's in the Bible. I want to look it up." Take your phone out. Used to be we were carrying these Bibles with us if we had God's Word. But now we have it everywhere. But we're not using it. All around the world there are people hungering and thirsting for God's Word. I'll never forget when I was in school years ago. We had a man came from Russia who had been exiled to Siberia because he was a Christian. And he said when we would get there, anybody new that came, we would ask them, "What Bible verses do you know? Do you have any verses committed to memory? Tell us what you know." And he had a little bitty book and the smallest handwriting I've ever seen. And they would write out every verse someone would tell them. They were writing their own Bible because they weren't allowed to take any with them. And they were creating the Word of God so others could hear the Word of God. And yet we have it and don't care about it. We let it sit from Sunday at noon until Sunday morning. Then we pick it up and carry it to church. There was no room for him in our homes. No room in the Word. No room in the war room. You know what the war room is? You remember the movie not long ago? The war room is prayer. Oh, are we spending time in prayer? The average American Christian spends 32 seconds a week in prayer. "Thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless it to our bodies." Amen. Total of that times 6 or 7. You got less than 32 seconds. That's it. We call that, you know, "Well, we pray, we believe in our God, we believe God answers prayer, we believe God is able, God can do all things." But we're not making time. And you're not going to find time. And this Christmas season, we ought to start out saying, "In my life, I'm going to see to it that there is room for Him. I'm going to get in the Word, I'm going to get in the war room, I'm going to pray, I'm going to look to God." No Bible, no talking to God all week long. And we say, "Well, now I believe in Jesus. I mean, he's like tops in my life. He's a..." God help us. For him, there was no room from them. Lord, don't let that be me. this Christmas season, Lord, you realize we'll go through Christmas and we'll never sit down and read the Christmas story to our grandchildren. We'll never read the Christmas story with our family. Our extended family that comes in. Well, now we've got family here, so let's don't do anything religious. They'll think we're weird. We are weird. That's what the Bible says. You're a peculiar people. Well, some of us, we need to work at being peculiar. Some of you, it comes quite natural. But we need to purpose Christ in our home. Lord, let this be a Christian home where Christ is honored and He's on the throne. But not only Christ in our home, Christ in our heads. Yeah. Colossians chapter 3. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. We have a problem. It's called stinking thinking. Yeah, if we don't let this word get into our mind, then we think just like the world. We come to church and we profess Christ is Lord. We profess Christianity, but then we have a secular world point of view. Amen or oh me, come on. I'm not kidding about that. Y'all going to preach me to death. I'll be here till like 2:30 and I've got things to do this afternoon. Help me out here. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate every one of them. We've got to have Christ in our head. The things of God are alienated to our natural mind. They are foreign to our natural mind. And so we've got to make sure that Christ is first. James 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and you sinners. Purify your hearts. You double-minded. That's our problem. We're double-minded. We're not focused on the Lord. We're not focused on the things of God. He is not in our thoughts and in our mind. We don't know and don't understand. You'd think we'd be in the Word all day long trying to understand better the Word and the will of God. But we don't care. We're double-minded, stinking thinking, destroying us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God forgive us for the things we've given our minds to this week. We've filled our brain, our eyes, and our ears with. Other than the things of God. And we wonder why I can't find God's will for my life. We are so double-minded. We don't recognize His will. We've got to focus in on it. We've got a purpose in our minds to know the will of God. He said there in verse 8, think on these things. Meditate on these things. King Jimmy says, dwell on. Park your bus there and spend time thinking on these things of God instead of thinking on things that are ungodly and unrighteous or just don't matter. You know what I mean? Oh, that we would give our minds to the Lord. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, sanctification, justification, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. That's the way it ought to be. Present our body a living sacrifice. How do I do that? And be not conformed to this world. Here's how you do it. Verse 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. So I just can't figure out God's will for me. Get in the Word of God. Allow God's Word to get in you. Allow your mind to be transformed. You understand? God formed you. Sin deformed you. Jesus can transform you. Can make you a new man. Give you a new mind. Change your stinking thing. The Greek word for transformed is really unique. If I had a glass of milk here, and I said, I don't want any milk. I just want water. Well, now I could pour that milk out and put water in it. But that's not what this word means. It means I've got a glass of milk, and now I just start pouring water into it. And then the glass fills up and it runs over. I just keep pouring water in. And now instead of milk, it looks kind of watered down milk, and I just keep pouring in it. And then it looks kind of like hazy water. And I just keep pouring it in and it's running over. And then you pick it up and there's no sign of the milk. It's crystal clear. That's what it. We get in God's Word and it brain washes us. It washes that stinking thinking out of our brain. Or else we are going to be Christian, human, secularists. God help, that doesn't exist. We've got an ungodly worldview sitting in church. Because we're thinking wrong. We've got to honor the Lord in our heads. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. How is it that I can keep my mind stayed on the things of God? You get into the Word of God, and the peace of God will guard your mind. Or else we just give it to everything. Garbage in, garbage out. There's no filter. No G-rated, PG-rated, X-rated, R-rated. None of that. We just take it all in. And we think we'll be able to find the will of God. Meditate. Be transformed. How will I be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. You get into the Word of God. That you might be able to prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We all want to go to a Christian bookstore and we want to find that book that says, How to Know God's Will in 3 Easy Steps. No, it's a transformed life. Be ye transformed. When your mind is renewed, you'll be transformed. Spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer. Call it the war room because, you know, Ephesians 6 says, Put on the whole armor of God. Your loins are girded about with truth. Your feet are shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. You take up the breastplate of righteousness. Take up the shield of faith and receive the helmet and the sword of the Lord. Now you're in ready for battle. Look at the next verse. In all prayer and supplication. You get dressed for battle. The battle is fought on your knees. We're not praying. And so we're not winning the battle. And when you fight the battle, you reap the spoils of war. We want to reap the spoils of war and never even get dressed in our armor or go to battle. It's not going to happen. Oh, that we make room for Christ in our home and we make room in our head. We give our mind to God, our thoughts to God. And then lastly, make room for God in our hearts. We've got so many other things. You say, well, I love you, Lord. There's no one more than you. I mean, Lord, you know. You're everything to me. Mark 12, verse 29 and 30. Jesus answered and said, The first commandment. Now we go back to the one we started with in Deuteronomy. The first commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength." This is the first commandment. Love God with all your heart. You married? Go home and tell your wife, "I'm kind of falling in love with that lady down there at the checkout line, the grocery store. I'm going to be spending more time buying more things down there." I don't think your wife's going to be happy. She don't want your heart divided. Neither does Christ. That our heart are given to God, dedicated to God, to Christ and Christ alone. This is the first commandment, he says. This is the premier. This is priority one. Is there room in your heart for Christ? Or is our heart dedicated to so many other things? So many other things we care about? Matthew chapter 6, 21. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now wait a minute, I think that's opposite. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. No, it's not what he says. The things you care about, the things you invest in, the things you give your time to, the things that you dwell on, your treasure, your heart will go there. But if we're not spending time and giving ourselves to the Lord, then we don't really have a heart for the Lord. Come on, young people, you remember? Had that first crush, first sweetheart. Oh, he is? Okay, thank you, brother. He's pointing out his big brother to me, so now I know who. Oh, yeah. You know how it was? You went to school with them. You talked to them all day long, and then you went to the ball game with them, you sat with them, you talked all evening long, and then you went home, you called them on the phone. And you can't remember anything to say anymore. It's just... because you want to spend time with them. Because you think you're in love with them. Why is it so hard for us to spend time with Jesus if we love Him? Why is it so hard for us to talk to Him if we love Him? I think we've got wrong understanding of the word love. No real priority to it. Oh, make room in your heart. Matthew 6, 21. "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." That's treasured devotion. Do you have a treasured devotion for the things of God? Problem is, too many of us have false devotion. Matthew 15, 8. "These people draw nigh to me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." How can that be? How can we sing praises to Jesus and not serve Him? How can we say He is Lord and Master and not obey Him? You know, when you were in love, you went out and picked up pop bottles and went and cashed them in to go buy that sweetheart some little cheap trinket. And yet we love Jesus. We don't tithe, though. No, we don't believe in tithing around here. We believe in tithing, you know. That's legalistic. That's Old Testament. Let me tell you, it goes beyond Old Testament. You know. God spoke. Abraham commenced it long before the law. Moses commanded it in the law. Oh, yes. Jesus came along and Jesus commended it. Who are you to cancel it? How can you say you love Him and you don't tithe? It's just basic. I mean, you haven't given your wallet to God? You understand how easy that is? Well, I just don't believe in it. I think it's... What? What excuse have you come up for that? Tell your wife anniversary comes along. She said, what'd you give me for an anniversary? I didn't get you anything. I just don't believe in that. I think it's legalistic. You're going to have a rough month. I'm telling you. Started to say night, but no, it's not. Won't make it just a nine. It's going to be rough. Acts chapter 5, verse 4. While it remained, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You know who he's talking to? Ananias and Sapphira. And they had a piece of land that belonged to them. And they sold it. And the money was all theirs. But then they came and gave a small portion of it to the church. But they said, that's every dime we got right there. We're giving every bit of it. Look how he ends the verse. You have not lied to men, but to God. We sit in the church. We sing psalms, offering plagues, passes. We're just liar, 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 liar. You want to honor Christ this Christmas season? Find room in your home. No apologies. I got some boogerhead family, I mean to tell you. I got 9 brothers and sisters. You come to my house, we're going to honor Christ. And I'm so thankful that most of them have come to know Christ as Savior already. As a matter of fact, we had a family reunion for Thanksgiving. 54 of us showed up. We was hoping it'd be the first time in our lives that all 9 of us, brothers and sisters, would be together, take a picture. And a brother in Florida, his wife got sick and they couldn't make it. 2 brothers in Greenville got COVID and they couldn't make it. But still, we gathered around and we talked about Jesus and I'm telling you, honor God. We just don't honor Christ. We don't put Him first. If we love Him, if we realize all He's done, the gift of God to us is Jesus Christ. What is our gift? If it's not putting Him first. True devotion, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, the Ethiopian eunuch says, here's water, what prevents me from being baptized? If you believe with all your heart, and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. See the Son of God in your life? Is He Master, Lord, and Savior? Is He the one who loved you to the point of dying on the cross for you and you alone? Then we ought to love Him without reservation, without hesitation. We ought to love Him. To do that, we need to make room for Him in our cluttered schedules, in our cluttered minds, and in our cluttered hearts this Christmas season. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Making room in your home, your head, and your heart. That's the greatest gift you can give to Jesus. Yourself. Your love and your devotion. We sing about it in the praise songs. But we don't do it in our lives. Let me ask you. You're here today. Do you know for certain if you died today, heaven would be your home? Can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus is Lord and Savior in my life? And if not, why don't you do something about that right now? Right where you sit. Pray this prayer just in the quietness of your own heart. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I do believe that you died on the cross. But Lord, in this moment, I believe you died for me on that cross. And I turn from my sin and self and I turn to you and I ask you, Lord Jesus, forgive me of sin and save me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. But if you're here and you just prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, and you know God heard the prayer, would you look up at me just long enough for eyes to meet? Brother Don, I prayed that prayer with you today. I realize the gift of God in Christ to me, and I'm receiving that gift here today. Did you pray it? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Just look up. I just want to agree with you. And church, no better time than on this first Sunday in December to purpose to make room for Christ this Christmas in our homes, in our heads, and in our hearts. Oh, there's room at the altar to make that commitment today. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. And the altar is open. Won't you come today in a time of just saying, yes, Lord, I want to make room for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, that you convict us and convince us of our sin. Lord, I pray that in these next few moments, we'd realize that every one of us is about to make a commitment. Every one of us is going to make a decision. We're either going to say yes or no to the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that every decision made would be to honor your holy name. For you and you alone, Lord Jesus, are worthy of our hearts, of our lives. Father, be glorified. Let these next few moments bring glory to you as I respond in Jesus' name. The altar is open. Why not come today and just dedicate this Christmas season to putting Christ first in your life? Come on, step out. I'm talking to y'all. Come on. Step out. Make time. You're not going to find it. You got to make it. Make a commitment. Step out and come. Lord, have your way in my life, in my home, in my head, in my heart. I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. I'm going to spend time speaking with you, Lord. You know, come on, come on. Others are coming. Some of you are looking around to see what others are doing. Why not just follow the Spirit leading in your life instead of following what others are doing? You step out and come. Lord, I love you. I want you to be first in my life this Christmas season. Come on, there's still time. Don't go away from here today with a decision unmade. Don't go away from here saying, well, I meant to. Well, the Lord knows. Why not just nail it down? Won't find time. You got to make it. God be glorified in every heart and every mind.
Thank you for your message, brother. At this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll close. Father, we do thank you for the precious message that's been brought to us today. Help us, Lord, to face the challenge and take it on. To be more God-centered in our life than we have been before. We thank you for all your blessings now and have your way and your will in our life. Bring us back to the service appointed for tonight's time. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.